Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to open in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you that we can all come and worship you. Lord, I just pray that your words would come through me and speak to all of us. And I would just pray that we can model you and be servants. In your name, amen. So when I first started coming to this church, I was probably around 5 years old. My dad just became the associate pastor here. And my favorite thing about coming to Nanaimo Alliance Church back then was kids' church. Now, this is a long time ago, but we used to run out, I think it's these doors actually, which is like right there, and run into kids' church instead of running that way. And yeah, it was a great time. You have snacks, games, story time, and singing. It was awesome. One of my favorite things about kids' church was I didn't have to be in the service. So it was great. But after about 5 years, I ran into this problem that once you hit 11 and grade 5, you weren't supposed to go out anymore. And I really didn't want to come back to the service and miss out on all the fun in kids' church. So me being a bit of a problem solver at that time figured out that there was some special people who got to stay out every single week. And I think at the time that was probably Marianne Roden and Nancy Appland and some other people in our church. And they were the Sunday school leaders. So I think how I managed it was when I went out, when they said, "Hey, John, you're too old," I was like, "I'm here to help." And that's basically how I started serving in Nanaimo Alliance Church. So yeah, but all jokes aside, I know that I've grown so much just from being able to serve in this church, whether it's PowerPoint sound, in kids' church with youth. It's what shaped me, and I really believe it's the easiest way to make a difference in so many people's lives is through serving. And that's why our slogan type thing for today is, "No one is too great to fill a need." So I'm sure that we all have very different stories on how we've volunteered in some capacity or another in a variety of different things, whether it's in church or just helping a friend. But I believe that we're also called to help people that we're in relationship with, our friends, our family, even if it's something we really hate doing, such as helping a friend move. It's the worst job. Speaking from experience, every time I've helped someone move, I think I broke something. So you lose a friendship and you're just trying to help. So it's kind of the worst. But it could also be like helping a coworker succeed in their new job, or a ministry leader who's desperate for new volunteers or needs help to make their dreams a reality. And along with those, I'm sure we all come up with, or a lot of us come up with, good excuses to not do those acts of service. For instance, you're too busy. You can't work with kids. You're not skilled that way. Your body hurts. Your shoulder hurts. You're too important. You're too well-dressed. Someone else should do it. Those are all great excuses. But I want to tell you about a man on YouTube I was actually watching, and he's like this millionaire business guy. He sells cars on social media. So he's a pretty busy dude. But one day, he decided that he was going to pick up this guy on the street in his car. And this was like a homeless man. He was asking for food or money for food, something like that. And so he decided that instead of just giving him a couple $100 because the guy's got a lot of money, he was actually going to try and change this guy's life. So what he did is he took him and cleaned him up. So he looked like that, big transformation. And he got him a job interview at a local call center. And the man ended up actually getting a job there. I'm not sure if he still works there, but he got a job. And what I would like to highlight from this story is the man was, instead of just throwing money at him, what he did instead was he took the time to make a difference, to take him from out on the street to looking like that to getting a job. And I think that's a perfect example of going the extra mile. I know Tracy last week talked about Rebecca, who not only served Isaac's servant, but also gave the servant's 30-gallon drinking camel's drinks. So that's a lot of service. And so I think we should put aside the idea that we are too good to serve, and instead realize that no one is too great to fill a need. And I think the Bible addresses this perfectly in one man, and his name's Jesus. He was the anointed one, the Messiah, God's only son, and the creator of the heavens and the earth. He probably has the best excuse not to serve because he's so great. But that's just not how Jesus works. They call him the servant king. So if we go to John 13:3, if you want to turn with me. Next one. Can we go to the next one? There we go. There we go. It says, Jesus knew. So it's changing a lot. Okay, here we go. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So that's a lot of power. He put everything under Jesus' power, and this is what Jesus did with it. So Jesus, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped it around his waist. Then after that, he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So I don't know about you, but if God just put me in charge of the whole world, I'm probably not thinking about washing feet right at that moment. There's lots of things I could do. You could make a national holiday after myself, or make a building, force Gordon Ramsay to be your personal chef. There's so many things you could do. But Jesus, he didn't roll that way. He was like, I'm going to serve these disciples, and I'm going to set an example. And I think what's really cool is, if I did a little bit of research, and the disciples, you may be asking why the disciples need their feet washed, right? Do they have, like, disgusting feet or something? Well, the answer is yes, they do. So back then, they didn't have paved roads, and everyone walked around in sandals, so your feet got really dirty really fast. And also, to top it all off, when you went to have dinner, instead of sitting at a table away from your feet, you'd sit on the ground, so your feet are, like, right next to the food. No one really wants to see your dirty feet. So normally, when you entered a house, you'd get your feet washed by a servant, or you'd wash it yourself or something like that. But instead, Jesus decides to take on the role of the servant and to wash the disciples' feet before the meal. So I thought that was pretty cool. And Peter, he, of course, recognizes that there's something wrong with this picture, right? He's got his teacher, his master, his Lord, he wants to wash Peter's feet. And in verse 6, it says, Jesus the Messiah was about to wash his feet, and Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. And Peter says, no, Peter protested, you will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Now, Peter right away recognizes that Jesus is humbling himself way below what he is. He's their Lord and Master. And Peter recognizes that there's a problem here. But Jesus does not seem to focus on that problem. The second point I want us to get happens in verse 12. And this is a rather long passage. But after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." So Jesus basically makes it really simple. He's saying, "I washed your feet. Now you need to go wash other people's feet." Now, you could take this literally and think you need to go around washing people's feet. But I don't think that's what the point is here. I think that the point is that we need to serve each other humbly, and people outside the church or people around us. And we need to serve them in such a way that we can bring other people in. So Jesus was teaching the disciples to serve, and in just in that same way, we need to teach others to serve, people in our church or people that we know. And so it's a two-part thing. It's not just serving. It's about serving and discipling. So moving forward into 2018, I believe that God is calling Nanaimo Alliance Church to do two things. And they're both in our vision statement that you can see online or in the bulletin. And it says, to serve. Our first vision is everyone a servant. We need to serve with all of our might, giving our best effort and going the extra mile. We need to say no to excuses that hold us back from serving in a truly great way. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that we all have busy lives, and there's lots of things for us to do. But as something I'm going through is I've been really challenged to wonder, am I really giving my best effort in my areas of service? Am I putting too much time in things that don't deserve my time? And am I giving my best effort to do amazing things that God wants me to do? And I believe if we do that, we'll see a kingdom grow in a great way. And then the second thing is to teach others to serve. So basically, this is our second vision point where it says, everyone a faith trainer. Are we training or making it simple for people to join us in ministry? Are we showing simple steps on how they can also become servants? Is there a specific area that you're called to? Is there a way that you can make it easier for others to be called to the same ministry? Now, what I would like our church family to do is to pursue being humble and doing service jobs that are considered beneath us. What would that look like if our interactions with people who come into Clothesline or youth or 567's ministry or children's ministry, if we focused on changing their lives individually and going the extra mile to know what would help them and to listen to them and focus on what they're going through? And I believe that we could change our church and our community in a great way. What if us, as Christians, were also known for service, such that people would come asking for help and they would leave help ready to help others? Our church can touch the lives of so many people in a complete way, doing as our Lord did by serving every single person in our city and everyone who comes through those doors. Just close in prayer with me. Lord, I thank you that you set an example for us. Lord, I just pray for the strength for all of us to serve you and to serve others, just like you did. As we go into this week, that we can look and search for opportunities to serve in a great way. In your name, amen. Now, before we continue, there's an opportunity. Oh, can I have my slides back? Shoot. Uh-oh, it's at the end. Oh, there we go. So there's an opportunity on March 4th. It's like a service exhibition, and all the different ministries in our church will be presented. And I encourage you to come to that and see what you can get involved in. There's so many areas that could use your help, and I believe that God is calling all of us to help in some way. And if you want to get involved right away, I'm sure asking any of the ministry leaders, and if you don't know who those are, just ask someone, and I'm sure they'll be able to point you in the right direction. But if you're interested in getting involved in a specific ministry, please talk to someone.